today on Real Radio.
But are we not a family? And you say, oh, yes, we are. Listen, this is so important that literally Paul's questioning many in Corinth who are suing their brothers. He's questioning the fact, are they even Christians? Can a Christian sue another Christian?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the first part of chapter 6. Here's where Paul lays out a scriptural and a logical case for believers to solve disputes among themselves within the council of other believers, and that's instead of the unbelieving world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Out of Heaven.
Out of Heaven. I'm going to ask you to write that down. You need to write that down. You're going to take notes this morning because it will apply to your life. In some way, shape, or form, it definitely will apply to your life. Out of heaven, meaning this, out of heaven needs to come, and we need to be reminded of our conduct, our word usage, our thinking, our actions. What we do in this world as Christians should be led and guided by the fact that not only is our doctrine out of heaven, our salvation is out of heaven, but technically our very politic, the word citizenship, our dwelling, according to the Bible, says that we are coming out of heaven. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. Paul has been teaching throughout Corinthians very strong things. I had a young man tell me recently, he said, Pastor Jack, I'm a little disappointed that we're going to go into Corinthians. What can we possibly get out of the book of Corinthians? Oh my goodness, I think there's a misprint in our Bibles. I don't know if it's the epistle to 1 Corinthians. Maybe it was supposed to say an epistle to the First Californians. That's how applicable it is, for crying out loud. This is the word of God. Yeah, but the church is so carnal. Yes, and It is powerful. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 1. Now listen carefully. Dare any of you, says Paul, having a matter against another. Specifically, the word in the Greek means a brother, not a neighbor, like some Bible translations have put the word neighbor. No, it is a Christian brother. To go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? That word means unbeliever, the least esteemed, those who have no knowledge. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not even a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren, that is in the family of God? But brother goes to law against a brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure that you go to law against another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated or defrauded, suffer injury? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brothers. An awesome teaching. It doesn't end there. In that he goes down to verse 11, we'll be, in all honesty, we'll cover that next time together. He simply says in verse 9, though, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why are you mixing church business and having the world decide on church business is what Paul's talking about. But we're going to take our microscope and zoom in as to what that all means. Number one, church, mark it down, Bible students. Number one, out of heaven, listen, comes our family. We are the family of God, verses 1 and 2. And it says right there that as a family, we are to resolve our own disputes. Will you mark it down? As a family, we are to resolve our own disputes. Absolutely essential. This is Paul's thrust. And I want you to follow along carefully. First of all, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11 that he, that is the Holy Spirit, has given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the target? What's the point? Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete total man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Church, God gifts members within the church certain gifts that edify the body of Christ with this in mind. Our unified goal is that all of us reach the same point at the same time well, and that is eternity. That you and I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in prayer, in the word, in fellowship, in ministry with each other. Even out in that world, we are unified together. So that in the end, we are constantly growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until Christ is established in us. Now, having said that, it is absolutely essential, church, jot it down, that as a church family, we resolve our own disputes. And it has no place for the world to dissolve or to, I should say, resolve our personal body disputes. Verse 1, dare any of you, strong words. By the way, most scholars say this is Paul's greatest usage of Greek sarcasms. He really, really pulls out the switch and lets them have it, the church at Corinth. We would say today, how dare you, having a matter against another brother, a Christian, go to law in the unrighteous courts? You're going to sue a brother? You're going to sue a Christian? The Bible says in Matthew 18:15, Jesus said it himself, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him, what? Alone. Can I hear it again? Alone. Say it one more time. Alone. Has somebody in the body of Christ upset you? Yes. Go tell him or her alone by yourself. Go to them alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. That means the feelings have been suppressed, there's been reconciliation. Verse 16, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. Don't get on the internet. Don't get on Twitter. Don't get on your Facebook account. Don't gossip about it. You start sinning, perhaps greater than the brother that sinned against you. You keep your mouth shut. You pray. You talk to the person. If they won't listen to you, you get a godly brother or a godly sister to go with you. And it goes on, it says that take with you a witness, one or more. And then it says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That is our law within the church about confronting one another, all with the motive of establishing God's word in our lives. Verse 17 says, if he refuses to hear, tell it to the church, specifically the church leadership. It doesn't mean you get on the bullhorn and blab it to the whole body of believers, and that would be gossip. But if he refuses to hear even the church, let him be like a heathen, or that is an unbeliever, or like a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on anything on earth concerning what you ask, it will be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. By the way, the context is all discipline here, Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together, in my name, I am there in the midst of you. Very, very important that as a Christian family, we stop talking if someone's hurt us. We stop talking about it to other people, and we go to that person personally. Why? The church at Corinth, listen to this. This sounds just like California. Watch this. In Corinth, somebody would get their feelings hurt. Something didn't go right for them in the church. They didn't like the way it was going for them in the church. Among brothers and sisters in Christ, one of them, or both of them, they go to the courts, they go to the world, and they file a lawsuit against their brother or sister because of personal issues. You say, that's ridiculous. Actually, you're sitting in the state that does it more than any state in America. I'm going to sue you. Why? You offended me. Isn't that amazing? We've become so shallow, so thin-skinned, so insecure that now even offenses have become illegal issues, which is not true, by the way. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to be offended. It's going to happen. Doesn't mean you're going to die. You'll survive. As a pastor, I get offended all the time. It's pretty exciting stuff. It's kind of fun because a Jew will be talking to me and they'll say, you don't know what it's like. And I say, oh, actually, yes, I do. How can you know? Because the God that I follow is Jewish. And I get in a lot of trouble for following a Jewish God. And then someone, maybe it'd be a black brother, sister, so you don't know what it's like. Yeah, I do know what it's like. Or Hispanic, or you fill it in. Listen, as Christians, we are the most, and we shall be the most attacked people on the planet. You're not going to die. You're going to make it. But in the church, what Paul is speaking about is a brother unable, unwilling to settle a dispute with his brother. This is, by the way, and I'll show you in a moment, this is a non-criminal setting. It's common offenses and deliberation that takes place with people we're not always going to understand or agree, or there's going to be disputes, and the Bible says, fix it among brothers and sisters in Christ. Is there not someone in the body, Paul is saying, that can help you come to the table, go to Starbucks, go to Mimi somewhere, sit down and talk it out? Instead of calling the news or bringing in some attorney. There's a place for those things. Paul will talk about it in a moment. But are we not a family? And you say, oh, yes, we are. Listen, this is so important that literally Paul's questioning many in Corinth who are suing their brothers. He's questioning the fact, are they even Christians? Can a Christian sue another Christian? Number one, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, following God, we are going to be committed to resolve the dispute. Secondly, verse 2 teaches us that because we are a family, we need to remember to enter into our rightful place. This is amazing to me. Our rightful place. I actually had dreams in my mind about trying to get this point across. I wanted to come out in a costume or an outfit. I wanted to be wearing something radically crazy to emboss in your mind what this means. I don't know what it physically would look like to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, a Jesus suit. I can't figure that one out. But that's exactly what it means for us if we are not going to fall victim to this Corinthian, Californian carnality. It's powerful what he's saying. It is this. We need to enter into the real place of who you and I are as Christians. That rightful place. He says in verse 2, do you not know? The word in Greek means stop acting like you don't know. Isn't it funny? Isn't that great? He says to the Corinthians, you hear the sarcasm? Stop acting like you don't know. What is that, Paul? That someday you're going to judge the world. How many of you are Christians right now? Raise your hand. According to the Bible, you and I are going to judge the world someday. I thought God was going to do that. He's going to have us help. Is that freaky weird or what? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when Christ returns in Revelation 19, we're going to be with him and he's going to execute judgment upon the face of the earth. And then the Bible says for 1,000 years, the bride of Christ, the church, will sit with Christ in the millennium and be exercising or implementing righteousness in the earth. Think of that. The Bible says, in fact, mark it down, it's Jude 14. Jude 14 tells us this about our rightful place as believers. Jude 14 says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. That's 10,000s. That's the best way of the English trying to say a number too big to count. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among all them that are ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. When does that happen? In the second coming of Christ. Amazing. Those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, as Christians, the Bible says we will someday, right here in Corinthians, judge the world. Where, when, how? I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. That's going to be freaky. You say, man, I can't even decide on, hey, apparently after you and I die and get to heaven, we're going to get real smart real fast. Isn't that weird? Paul says, what's wrong with you guys? You guys are so petty and carnal. You're eating each other up. You're going to get lawyers to sue one another because you got your feelings hurt. Don't you know that someday You're going to judge the earth? You say, well, wow. All of a sudden, it makes me want to sit up a little straighter. God's calling you and I to an amazing future. We need to start, listen, acting like we're already there in a sense. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says, listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. Watch, verse 6, Ephesians 2, 6. Notice the past tense. And raised us up together and made us sit together. Not here, not right now. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that radical? Yes. Now watch this. You got to watch me. You're sitting right here, but the absolute reality of who you are as a Christian is that you're seated already in heaven, says the Bible. Can you wrap your brain and your faith around that for a second? No, Pastor, I'm sitting right here. It's comfortable and I'm okay. Forget about it. You are actually seated, according to God, in heaven. That's why the message is entitled Out of Heaven. That's where our thinking should be coming from, because we're already there. Our real ambassadorship, our real passport, our true existence is already in heaven. We're going to where we belong. We don't belong here. Most people tell us that already. You don't belong here. Tell them, amen, brother. We're going home. Well, you can't go home unless you first had a home there. I do have a home there. I had it built. Jesus built. Jesus was both my shepherd and my carpenter. And he's going to come and pick me up when it's done. My citizenship, my existence comes out of heaven. If we really believe that, if we practice that reality, then we're going to be very different how we treat those around us who hurt our feelings. Listen, I love all of you. If you don't know that, you should know that. But grow up. But you know, Pastor, you have no idea. He hurt my feelings. Don't tell me about it. Read Matthew 18. Take the guy out to lunch and fix it. Why? Get ready, because you're going to judge the earth someday. So start using the wisdom that comes out of heaven to live your life now. Paul would say, grow up, Corinthians. You got a huge thing coming. Reality. I heard a very famous guy, big news dude, Fox News, something about the factor. He said something last week. I was putting on my shoes, and I just had to stop and yell at him. He said, everybody knows. Are you listening? Everybody knows that perception is reality. Maybe you saw him say that. And I said, what did you say? What did you just say? And I rewound that guy. Everybody knows perception is reality. I paused with his face on the screen and I said, what's the matter with you? Are you insane? You don't say that to people, because first of all, that's what people want. They want perception to be reality. You and I suffer with this. Psychosis. Now, hear me on this. Don't freak out. But, you know, have you noticed that when you wear certain clothes, you act different? Huh? Some of you guys are lying over here. Some of you are telling the truth. I guarantee you, if you're wearing, you know, you're all torn up, shorts and a holy messed up t-shirt that's got ring around the collar. Guys, do you know what I'm talking about? Huh? It's your favorite. You act different. I mean, you'll walk through mud. You might even roll around in the mud with that kind of stuff on. You don't go put cologne on when you have that kind of clothes on. It's hopeless, and you're not in the mood. Anyway, you are out to, like, tear up a tree or mow the lawn. When you go out and you put on a suit or whatever, you're going to a nice dinner or whatever, you stand different. Hey, you know what for me? I don't know what it is, but why is it that when your car's clean even, when your car's clean, doesn't your car seem to drive better? Huh? It's no different, but it looks new. Perception is reality. Not true. Listen, perception is deception in reality. How many of you have built a whole relationship on a first impression? Huh? You know why you're so quiet? Because perception's not reality. And so when the world says, oh yeah, so whatever image I put forth, see, I want to create a false reality so you don't know who I am. So I have diamond rings all over there and my shirt open to my navel, driving a little red Hugo, trying to convince you that, you know, whoa, man, you know, I'm not having a midlife crisis. What's it all about? Perception. Perception, because I want to create a reality around me. And everybody sees that and says, that guy is trying to get us to believe in his perception. It doesn't work. And so what's going on when we look at this as a church family? The reality is that if we're really living and coming out of heaven and thinking out of heaven and acting out of heaven, there'll be no, what Jesus said, there'll be no guile. Somebody hurt your feelings? Go up to them and say, hey, you know what? Come over here for a second. What is it? Did I understand you right? Did you say this about me? You hurt my feelings, man. That hurt my feelings. You guys work it out. No one needs to know. Paul says, yeah, that's right. You don't go sue the guy about it. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because look at this. As a family, we're to act like our father. We're to act like our father. It says in verse 2, and if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? See, these are small things. You guys are going to court over some silly little personal disputes. We would say this, mark it down, note takers, put it down. You're willing to go to court over non-criminal items, non-criminal issues. The guy didn't stick a gun in your stomach and pull the trigger. He didn't stab you. He didn't steal your donkey. He hurt your feelings. Ephesians 3:14 says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, comes to earth in human skin and shows us how to relate to our Father when he himself, forever now even in eternity, he is the Son of God, teaching us that we have a Father. And kids will act like their fathers. Isn't it awesome? Us who are Christians, we get to now be like our Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? That's exciting. Because we all know this, good, bad, or ugly, we have adopted traits of our father and our mother that we would never have normally signed up for.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, called Out of Heaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Friday's edition of the program, we normally like to have a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where we pull Pastor Jack into the studio and we ask him questions that you have written in to us. Now, we pull him in as often as we can, but today it's just not possible for him to be here. But if you do have a question for Pastor Jack you'd like to ask him, and there's a good chance we'll ask it on the air, send the question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Or our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.